May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Good morning. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, nor in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew in chapter 18. If in the text that Joe just read for us, Paul gives us the instructions to always be loving to each other, Jesus gives us some help here for when that doesn't work out. I invite you to listen for the word of God. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you've regained that one. If you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. it's Homecoming Sunday, a term that may invoke a variety of ideas and sensibilities in you. When I was growing up, homecoming was the football game that happened in the fall where kings and queens were crowned and a royal court was established. Here in the church life, homecoming, I hope, feels a little bit different, not about designating who's the most popular, but about finding and making home here in our midst. There's an element of this tradition that's a little like a family reunion, a reconnection, a catching up on what's been happening. But I was raised on the music of John Denver, and so I'm familiar of the lyrics in Rocky Mountain High that assure me that you can come home to a place you've never been before. And our homecoming on this Sunday in church is that kind of a place. A home that feels like a place of belonging because people practice love, because we claim grace, because we trust that we belong here together. That kind of value on belonging is such an important part of our understanding of grace. And grace is, to my mind, the thing that holds we Methodists together. An emphasis on a theology that begins from grace, that holds from the beginning of everything and all through it all, that we are given love from God, who loves us and all creation just as it is, and who invites us into relationship and community where that love and grace can continue to work on us so that we might become more practiced at love. Practicing love is, after all, the thing that we do together as the church. It's the instructions that Paul gave in the passage from Romans that Joe read for us this morning. Owe nothing to anyone. Again, from the beginning, this sounds a little like the independent, self-sufficient values of the culture I grew up in. Owe nothing to anyone. Feels very comfortable in the cultural terms that I grew up in. But then Paul goes on. He says, Accept love for one another. Starting with the language of debt, of balances due, Paul quickly shifts our sensibilities, and it becomes immediately clear that he's not talking about a balance sheet, but about relationship and mutuality. Owe nothing to anyone, he says, except for love. If we owe love, it means we've received love, right? And once you've received love, and you begin the long, slow work of reciprocation and then of abiding in love, the question of quantities and the balance sheet fades away because it changes us. It makes us a thing together, an interrelated belonging, a family, a community, a church. Homecoming Sunday is about church. It's about church doing church, which is practicing life together with a different set of values, a set of values rooted in love and forgiveness, a set of values structured on grace, on trusting that we're enough and that we're loved and that so is everyone else. And then the rest of it is just working out how to do that. Jesus, in this passage in Matthew's gospel, has a very particular protocol he offers for what to do when someone in the community sins against us. And as I read it today, I worry about how it gets practiced, how these expected steps get put into law, who has the power to ensure that it happens in this way, whether the room where these encounters happen is structured for equity, or whether there's a power imbalance in the confrontations. I can quickly imagine communities where this process, the one that Jesus spells out step by step, is practiced in a way that is coercive and dehumanizing and silencing of real harm and oppression. But I can also hear in Jesus' words an invitation to be people of relationship who value our relatedness to each other and seek to move through inevitable conflict with grace and love toward a reconciliation that is restorative. I hear in Jesus' words an invitation to be people who work to pull together in a different way of being. I love in this text that Jesus gives all the steps. Go to the person who's harmed you and try to share your grievance with them. Personally, if that doesn't work, bring some more people into the conversation as witnesses. And then if that doesn't work, take it to the whole of the community. And if that fails, treat them like a sinner and a tax collector. You know what Jesus did with sinners and tax collectors, right? He loved them. There's no step of this protocol that leaves us without hope of reconciliation, hope of community, a place of belonging, and assurance of love. This resting on a trust about our belonging in grace, about our belonging in the community, about our being from the beginning created in the divine image and the recipient of grace. This is at the core of my understanding of our Christian theology and what compels me to continue to be a United Methodist, what draws me to our tradition as we practice and elevate grace as the centerpiece of our connection and community. There are Christian churches that focus less on grace and more about following rules. There are Christian traditions that are motivated more significantly by fear. And there are times when we Methodists are prone to the same temptation to believe that we can become a better church by getting rid of those people, whoever it is that we've decided are the problem that prevents us from holiness in our living and in our community. But grace keeps pulling us back to a different posture, one that begins and ends from assurance of our being in the love of God, one that before everything and after it all claims our belovedness and our belonging together. Our tradition values this gift, and it is a little bit radical. Sometimes, especially when we've built really lovely sanctuaries, we forget the wild, radical gift of this message of grace. It is provocative and dangerous. This week, a wild thing happened in United Methodism. The chair or the general secretary of our Commission on Archives and History met face to face with the Pope and gifted him a John Wesley bobblehead. This is a coming together of something a little bit wild. Not only ecumenical traditions encountering one another face to face, but a playful toy being a gift to the Pope. It's occasioned me to think back on some of the gifts and provocations of our Wesleyan tradition. John Wesley, in his journal, after he experienced the gift of preaching beyond the walls of the church building, made a note in his journal that he was submitting to be more vile. That is, committing to being a little outside the boundaries of what is established protocol. Appropriate behavior. That is, taking this wild message of grace and making sure it doesn't get lost in all of the beauty that we've put on top of it. Remembering that at the heart of our tradition is radical good news that we have to hold on to. An assurance of belonging and blessing and grace that we have to claim and reclaim again and again as we remember who we are and what we're about. that the gift of our faith is a gift of radical love that pushes back against decades and centuries of assumption and practice and habit that have attempted to turn the church into an institution of isolation, of righteousness that is protected and separated, of judgment and condemnation. We Methodists are called to be a little more vile, to look a little rough around the edges, because we insist again and again that the message of grace is meant for everyone. In the Christian church in U.S. America, loud voices continue to insist that there's something in our tradition that prevents LGBTQ+ individuals from full belonging and participation and blessing in the church. This is a misuse of our scripture and an abuse of the heart of our theology, a twisting of our scriptures into weapon, and a misuse of a message of grace and welcome and inclusion. And we do it not just for our queer kin, we do it in so many insidious ways along boundaries of economic status, of national status, of race and age. We make subtle movements and overt gestures that insist that someone else doesn't belong, isn't the right kind of righteous, that there's something in our tradition that would justify the perpetuation of rankings and divisions and exclusions, and that is not what's at the heart of our gospel. We have relentlessly, again and again, an insistence on the gift of grace coming to us from the beginning, as we're created, as we're invited to receive our belonging in the home that is the body of Christ. And this metaphor that the church is the body of Christ insists even further that we're not going to be tolerated, but that we're a necessary part of the whole. As certainly as your fingers are part of your body, we are knit together in a way of being that insists on our community, that insists the Christian faith is not one practiced in isolation, but all of us together. We don't just put up with each other. We need each other. We are together the body of Christ, not in isolation. And so we have again and again in our scriptures, in our prayers, in our songs, in our sacraments, an invitation to receive this gift of grace. This fall, from now through at least the middle of November, our sermon series is focusing on three words that were given to us as a challenge by the bishops of the United Methodist Church. Tom Bickerton, the chair of our Council of Bishops, offered these words to the church this year and asked us to, in this moment, be architects of a future of United Methodism that lives with hope. The words he offered us are to first reclaim the gifts of who we are, to renew our connection in the gospel, and to recommit to this work that's before us of building beloved community. Two colleagues and I, Grace and Matthew in Evanston, Illinois, and Amy Aiken in Pasadena, have agreed to use these words to frame the conversation in our congregations through this fall. So we're not doing this alone. All of United Methodism has been asked to take this up, but the three of us are intentionally choosing this series to lead us through this fall. And this first posture, the practice of reclaiming our faith, is one that feels like such a gift to me today. There are loud voices in our tradition that act as if they hold the key, the answer book, the barriers around what orthodox belief is, what right belief or practice of Christianity is. And I want you to join me in remembering and reclaiming that we have the gospel with us too. that these wild ideas about inclusion and justice are not a contemporary adaptation to what's popular these days, but are a deep reclamation of the theology that's knit throughout our tradition. We have from the beginning a declaration of the goodness of humankind. We have from the beginning a Savior whose grace is enough, is always pushing further past our human boundaries to insist that we are drawn together in love. This morning in worship, later we will have the opportunity to reclaim the vows of baptism. I'll ask you again the questions that we ask in baptism. If these are questions that you answered in your confirmation or in your baptism, I invite you to say them again. And if you've not been baptized, I invite you to hear these questions as an invitation to faith. And then, during our closing hymn today, our acolytes will help remind you of the gift of grace that we stand under. In a fine liturgical tradition we've borrowed from our Catholic siblings of sprinkling you with water. But they're not going to sprinkle in a serious and somber way, because flinging water is joyous in the same way that grace is an invitation not only to serious and dignified belonging, but, well, Wesley called it submitting to be more vile. It's not maybe all the way to vile, but there's a little bit of an unrestrained quality in how it is that God gives grace to us all. The rain maybe fell on your head this morning already, giving you a physical remembrance of the gift of water, of our standing under the grace of God. Today, here in worship, you will again be invited to receive a physical reminder of the grace of God. It maybe will help you remember your baptism, or if you've not been baptized, be a gift that invites you to know more about the deep love God has for you. Grace makes it okay. It does what Anne Lamott says is the work of God, helping us know that we're loved just as we are and that God loves us just too much to let us stay that way. The grace is an invitation to know that we are a part of the community as we are and that God has a work to do in us as we become those who practice a love that looks more like Christ. Not as we conform to an outward appearance of a Christian, but as we learn to offer forgiveness and grace, as we practice compassion, as we work for justice. This is the invitation of the gospel. And so today, as a United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California, in 2023, I invite you to join me in reclaiming the gifts of our grace, to know that although the church is different from how it ever has been in the past, the position of Christianity in our nation, in our world, is different from how it ever has been in the past, that there is an invitation in this moment to receive the gift of grace, to believe in God's love for us, and to let God's love for us push us outward to be those who love strangers and neighbors and even our enemies, to be changed by the gift of grace, to belong in a community of joy, to share together in the practice of justice and peace. May it be so. Amen.